Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Howdy, 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 folks. Thanks for tuning in. It's good to be back after a one-week hiatus. I want to give thanks to Mr. Garcia for filling in for me last week. That was a last-minute thing. I also have to apologize because I haven't actually listened to the show yet. So I'm sure it was a wonderful, beautiful thing. I just can't address any of the specifics he might have spoken about. That was actually my plan for the show tonight, and of course now I don't have one because I didn't listen to the show. But hey, I never really have a plan for the show, so that's how it goes. I just speak off the cuff. I speak speak as it occurs to me to speak, and hope that something meaningful to someone somewhere comes out of it. So I dig in. Once again, I thank you for joining me. This evening, I also want to send thanks out to my lovely daughter and my lovely granddaughter and my lovely son-in-law who took me out to dinner tonight. And we're trying to make this an every week thing, not so much the taking me out. This is more of a birthday sort of thing, but with my birthday is coming up here in a couple of weeks. That's just an occasion for all of us to get together, sit down, share a meal together, and catch up. You know, we live so close together, and it occurred to my daughter and I that we weren't really spending all that much time together, taking advantage of the fact that not a lot of people live close enough to their relatives to be able to spend time with them that easily. So we are trying to start this as a new procedure that we're going to sit down for dinner together every Friday. Missed it last Friday because I was working, but we had done it two Fridays before that, and now we've picked it up this time. Next time, it's going to be a part of my sort of extended birthday celebration. I'm very glad to be a part of that, but next week we are going out to dinner at a restaurant that's close to me, as opposed to this week we were out someplace close to where she lives, out in the suburbs. I live in the gritty, dirty downtown heart of the city. So I come down here and we'll go to a restaurant this way, and then she's going to take me to the university hockey game. And we'll go to the NHL hockey game because it's kind of pricey, but the university hockey game is more affordable. So we're going to do that, and then that will conclude birthday. I almost said Christmas birthday 2014 for Mud Toe. And I'm looking at that's interesting. And so I'm trying to keep an eye on my. I don't multitask well. And I have had a couple comments coming in there, and I'm trying to read them as I talk, and that never seems to work well. I have a comment. I had put a post up before the show started about, what's it called? Let me look at it. Zimbio. I don't know if you're familiar with Zimbio. They put up those little, I don't know what you call it. It's not a, I guess you'd have to call it a quiz, although they're not very, it's what character from, you know, what Disney princess are you? What character from Game of Thrones are you? What character, I did the one from Golden Girls. Which of the Golden Girls are you? If you spend any time at all on social media, you've seen these things. And it's all very pop culture-ish, of course, which is as I would expect it to be. But I thought, what if there was a similar process for, there was another one. Did you hear the little boop thing? No, it's going to be each. Never mind. I'll go on with what I was saying. I thought, what if there was one for sort of classical works in addition to the pop culture? So I put up. I wish Zimbio could help me find out what character from Animal Farm I am. Animal Farm being George Orwell's great novel. Personally, I like it better than 1984. it's much more to the point. 1984 kind of gives a lot of he gives into the temptation to do a lot of it's not even exposition. He reproduces in 1984. Orwell reproduces the book that his protagonist is supposed to be distributing that will that's going to overthrow society, that overthrow Big Brother and all of his shenanigans. And it's like goes on for pages and pages and pages. I'm like, I don't even want to be reading this. Nothing like that in Animal Farm. It's very sort of whimsical almost, which I enjoy it very much. But I got one comment from a friend of mine, Andy, Alien Andy, gave me a comment, said he thought that I would be Boxer, who was the big horse, who was the backbone of the operation. He always would take on more work, and he would say, I will work harder. That was the thing he was, I will work harder, as things would get worse and worse for the animal farm, in the animal farm, and the other animals were seeing more and more hardships. That would be his solution. I'll since I'm the strongest, I will do better. And the other thing he always said was, Comrade Napoleon is always right. Comrade Napoleon being the boss, the pig who ran Animal Farm. I don't know if that's where I would have put myself, and I'm a little bit curious as to why Andy would have put me there. But, I mean, that's what's interesting about these things. You always kind of find out things you wouldn't have expected. And then after that, I got a couple of likes from people who I would have expected, just a couple of friends of mine who are literate friends, and I thought they would have jumped all over Animal Farm. And then my cousin JR commented that he said, or Waiting for Godot. What character am I in Waiting for Godot? That would certainly be interesting as well. But I have a like here from a character, and I'm not going to repeat the name because she's one of these Facebook friends that I've never actually met. Just someone that I friended at some, well, this, she's a model, so I'm pretty sure why I friended her. I've never gotten a message from her or any sort of response to one of my posts. I've commented on a lot of her posts. I cannot remember her ever responding to one of my, and perhaps this is my, it must be my conceit, and I will have to confess, I would not have expected this person to have responded to a sort of highbrow, pointy-headed intellectual kind of post, but and yet she did. And what thing that is interesting about that is, I won't say this person specifically. I have a number of similar friends on Facebook. They remind me of a character in Animal Farm called Molly. If you've read the book, you know who I'm talking about. But the idea, the conceit of the book is that there's this farm, there's this dude running it, he's kind of a goof, he doesn't take care of the farm very well, and the animals have an uprising, they revolt, and they kick him out, and they start running the farm themselves. And the pigs sort of take over, they take over the role that the humans used to have of being the bosses. And each character has sort of is sort of an archetype you recognize from that sort of situation, because we're all familiar with like the Banana Republic kind of thing where they kick out the dictator and then things are great for a while and then suddenly someone from within the movement becomes the new dictator. Molly is this sort of bourgeois character. She was a show horse. And she was always the old guy's favorite. Jones was the old farmer. She was favorite. He'd brush her and he'd dress her up and put ribbons on her and stuff like that. And the refrain of the animals was, or the pigs, whatever the animals would complain was, you don't want Jones back, do you? And of course they'd say, no, we don't want Jones back. Well, Molly, she kind of would like to have Jones back. And finally she ran away. Someone who just the revolution wasn't for her. She wanted her comforts. And I have a number of people on my friend list who I see their posts, the things that upset them. I don't want to. I shouldn't be going down this path. I really shouldn't. But oh, what the heck, I'll go down this path. The thing, I see a post, and this thing just upset me so much, and I think of Molly. I think of poor Molly saying, oh, Jones went away, and I don't have my ribbons anymore. Is that terrible of me to say? It probably is. But that's two surprises, or one surprise. It's one surprise. The other ones I expected. The other people who have replied so far are people I would have thought, et cetera. I guess, okay, there were two surprises. Boxer was the first surprise. I didn't see myself as Boxer. And the other surprise was that Molly from Animal Farm replied to my post. Maybe that's not a surprise. Maybe she knows she's a Molly from Animal Farm. I don't know. That's been a hobby that I haven't been able to pursue too terribly much lately. I've been working a great deal. In fact, yesterday was the 12th consecutive day I worked without a day off. And it's not so much that I'm complaining about that. The money is nice. I didn't necessarily work 8-hour shifts all of those days. It wasn't that it wore me out so much, but it's just the idea of, you know, when is a day coming when I can do some stuff maybe I'd like to do, which is just like today and tomorrow, and then Sunday I have to go back to work. And I know there was a time I used to do this, although I used to work. I had for years had, you know, jobs. I worked 40-hour-a-week jobs and also managed to get all my personal stuff done and have hobbies and was much more active than I am now outside the home. I was noting as I was going over a few things here that a number of my friends have achieved honors over the past couple of months that I've done some sort of impressive things I didn't even know about, you know, because I wasn't sort of out there moving in those circles. There's a young lady in a play I directed a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, I think, that was nominated for Best Actress in the city. I didn't even know they did that. That they have an organization that tracks all of the drama, or, you know, I don't know if it tracks all the drama. It tracks drama here in the city, and they give out awards, yeah, I guess, at the end of the year, which people they liked the most. And she was nominated for, you know, Best Actress in our city that year, and I didn't even know about it. So that kind of gets to me when I feel like I've gotten into this pattern where I'm either working or I'm scrambling to get my personal business done or I'm sleeping. And I guess I feel like it's something I would have to make an effort to do, and that I should make an effort to do, to try and give myself some sort of presence among my social, some sort of physical presence among my social circle, where they just don't just hear me on the radio or talk to me on Facebook. We're actually out there someplace, and I can see what they're up to, and they can see what I'm up to. And then, of course, getting the book finished. There's I'm feeling bad that there've been lots of opportunities and I didn't get as much work done on it as I should have. And now over these past this past run of 12 days, there really hasn't been any opportunity at all to work on it. I feel badly that it's not coming along any faster than it is. It's coming along faster than it has. Certainly, I've gotten further in January of 2014 than I did in the last 3 months, even of 2013. So that's something to be proud of. But it can go faster still. It could go much faster. And these are things I need to attend to. The things I need to attend to in my mind. To get my get myself out of this sort of loop, this trap that I perceive myself to be in. Now, that said, let me tell you about something I've been doing on Facebook. I'm being actively engaged in not using Facebook as much. And what I mean by not using it as much is when I'm on Facebook, I'm really not using it. I'm just mindlessly going through the page after page after page after page and not accomplishing anything. And then, or worse, I'll see a post that I don't agree with and start an argument with somebody, which goes absolutely nowhere. And I'll invest a lot of myself emotionally in that argument, knowing it's not going to go anywhere at all, and doing it anywhere, and then I'll feel angry, or I'll feel upset, or I'll feel nauseous, and it interferes with things that I could be doing that I should be doing. So I'm being conscious. I'm trying to be aware of what it is that I'm doing when I'm on Facebook, and if I notice that all I'm doing is flipping and flipping and flipping, I'm going to get off of it, and I've had mixed success with that so far. And as one of the way that my twisted mind works is that I'll set a rule for myself, and then I'll find a way around that rule. So one of the ways my rule was, if I'm not doing anything on Facebook or on the internet, I'm going to get off of it. So I've figured out ways to be doing things without really, you know, I can say, oh, I'm doing something. I'm not actually mindlessly. I'm doing this. I'm looking for, what was I? I was looking for those sort of wild statements that you see on social media a lot, and then I was going to look them up, do Snopes or something, and see if they were actually true or not. This is getting me absolutely nowhere towards the goals I've set for myself, or I think goals that any reasonable person would set for themselves. But it was my excuse to stay on the internet, and I've caught myself doing that quite a bit too, on Facebook specifically. However, in that process, I found out a few interesting things, and one of them is about the great Potu or Putu. It doesn't say here how you pronounce it. It's a bird that looks a lot like a lizard. And they had a picture. I saw this. They had a picture of it someplace in Venezuela. They said, oh, here's this weird bird in Venezuela. And you know, my first instinct is that's not, you know, that's something somebody faked, or it's a you know, some sort of a Facebook or a Photoshop hybrid of some kind. So okay, that's part of my mission, right? I got to look it up and see if it's true or false. I have to prove that it's false. So I get on the internet and I look up the great Potu. Potoo is how they spell it. That'd be Potu or Putu. It'd have to be Potu. Potoo. But anyway, I look it up, and by God, there is such a thing. It's a bird that's sort of owl-like in a way, but then it has certain sort of lizardy aspects. So depending on how you look at it, they got a bunch of pictures of it here. So I mean, hey, who knew, right? And then I found along the same lines the megabat. I'm like, this cannot be. There's a picture of a dude, and he's standing next to this bat that's like the same size as he is. No way. This is fake. So either they called it a megabat, and I looked it up, and by golly, there is a thing called a megabat. It's a bat that's, you know, about the size of a fox with wings, and these things fly around some places in I've forgotten. I think it's in Europe somewhere, and then in South America as well. But thank goodness they don't want to bother people or animals or any. They eat fruit. That's all they eat, and they don't care about the knights or going to castles or anything like that. I mean, that's kind of what it looked like was that sort of fakey transition from the 30s and 40s movies between Dracula and the bat. You know, where he had these sort of stages in between it would go through, where it's like he was a big bat, and then he went and became a little bat. It's what it looked like. It's like Bela Lugosi, 90% still Bela Lugosi, 10% of the way to bat. But, and they say they're harmless, but you know, I don't think I'd want to stand next to one. It would really freak me out. A big bat, big old bat. I have enough trouble keeping the stink bugs out of my apartment. Know what part of the country or part of the world that you live in, but here in the Great Midwest, we have these creatures called stink bugs, and there were these prehistoric looking bugs. I don't know if you'd classify it as a beetle because it doesn't have that kind of hard shell, but it's just this geometric shaped body. You know, it's not like a long thin body like most bugs have, or a rounded body. It's just sort of sharp angles to it. And it also has wings. It can get up and fly if it wants to, although you really have to kind of bother it to get it to fly. It doesn't like to fly, evidently. But the kicker is you can't, when they get in your house, you can't step on them. And, you know, I don't like to step on bugs anyway, but a stink bug you really can't step on because they stink. They make this terrible odor when you kill them. So you don't really want to split them open in that way, I guess. So you got to catch them, and they're not terribly difficult to catch. But they, as I say, they have some means of escape. You know, if they really want to, they can spread their wings and fly away from you. Or, you know, always if you get them, like I try to catch one in a bag, and then they won't behave themselves. They won't just sit. Like if you catch a roach or if you catch a beetle or something, you catch them up in the bag, and then you shake the bag, and they go down to the bottom, and they'll kind of chill there for a little while, long enough for you to get them out of the house. But the stink bug, he'll just continue to try and escape. And so there's this process of walking, trying to get to the door, and at the same time rolling the bag over. So as it gets out of the bag, you're rolling him back into the bag. And so it's a trial. And I have to confess, I did purchase stink bug spray. As I say, I don't like... You're killing the insect is the absolute last resort. I would much rather capture the insect and release it outside and give it the opportunity to find its way back into my apartment. And you know, the stink bug is no exception. Plus, it gives me a reason to not kill it inside my house. So I bought spray. Just a sort of your last line of defense. This thing is, because I had one time decide it wanted to fly in circles around the light fixture in my bedroom, and I kept waiting for it to stop and waiting for it to stop and waiting for it to stop, and it wouldn't stop. And then finally it stopped, but it was right on top of the light bulb, and it was one of the curlicue ones with the mercury in it. I wasn't going to take a swipe at it and risk, you know, breaking the light bulb. So I just had to kind of tap the light bulb and get him to start flying again, and I don't know how long I would have sat there waiting for him to get tired if I hadn't had my stink bug killer there, which I probably have taken some time off of my life with the amount of it I sprayed all over my bedroom trying to kill that damn thing. I mean, it's supposed to be, the advertising, of course, absolutely lethal to stink bugs. It's got pictures of stink bugs on the label. It's all about, you know, specially formulated to control stink bugs. And it didn't even care. I think the only reason I even knocked it down was I got its wings so wet that it couldn't fly anymore. And then I swept him into the vent, the heating vent on the floor. Said, ah! Down he went. And I don't know. I don't know if I ever saw him again. I've seen one since then. I don't know if he's the same guy or not. I don't tag them. Perhaps I should do that service for science, start tagging my stink bugs so I know which ones are coming in, paint a number on its back or something. They seem fairly inoffensive. You know, I know I've never been bitten by a stink bug. I don't know if they bite. Do they bite? You know, I could find out. That's something I could find out. Right here, I'm do a service for you on this show right now. I'm going to Google... stink bugs. Stink bug. Oh, here's one specific to my state. How to get rid of stink bugs. Asian stink bugs invade Ohio home. Fall cool air sends stink bugs. Stink bugs likely here. Okay, so evidently they're strangers here. Brown marmorated stink bug. That looks right. This is Wikipedia. Brown marmorated stink bug, Halliomorpha halus, or simply the stink bug, is an insect in the family, da 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 da. It's native to China, Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. It was accidentally introduced into the United States with the first specimen. Well, tell me how. I'm so interested. Have you seen that? I've seen that a lot in news articles and things of this ilk on the internet. Just say something and they'll tell you how. Like Justin Bieber isn't going to go to jail. There's this lawyer talking about, well, this is what the charge, and this is the maximum penalty, and this is you know, it probably the charge will probably stick because he did this and he did and Justin did this. And they said, but I don't think he'll do any jail time. And then it goes on to the next thing. Why don't you think he'll do any jail time? What would be the extent? And I think it's probably, my guess would be, it's because he's in California and they have a problem, you know, overcrowded jails, and the sheriffs have a lot of latitude to let people out of jail early, and the sheriff doesn't want a celebrity in his jail because there's nothing good that can come from that. You're going to be chasing away paparazzi all the time. You're going to have to keep him in a special place because he's going to be a target. Somebody in the jail wanting to make a name for themselves is going to snuff Justin Bieber. So, I mean, if he does go to jail, they're going to process his ass out of there as quick as they possibly could, just like Lindsay Lohan. So, anyway, that was an interesting divergence there. This is, okay, as well, I said that because they didn't say why. Where was it first collected? I don't know. Adults, 1.7 centimeters long, forming the shield shape. That's what I wanted to say. The kind of various shades of brown came in, blah, blah, blah. The brown marmalade stink bug is an agricultural pest that can cause widespread damage to fruit and vegetable crops. In Japan, it is a pest to soybean and fruit crops. In the U.S., stink bugs feeds on varieties of fruits, vegetables, other host plants, like peaches, apples, green beans, soybeans, cherries, raspberries. It is a sucking insect, a true bug that uses its proboscis to pierce the host plant in order to feed. This feeding results in part from the formation of one home, more than 26,000 stink bugs were found overwintering. Adults can live from several months to a year. They will enter under siding, into soffits, around windows and door frames, chimneys, or any space which has openings big enough to fit through. Once inside the house, they go into a state of hibernation. They wait for winter to pass, but often the warmth inside the house causes them to become active, and they may fly clumsily around light fixtures. I saw that. See? That's truth. I have seen. I can confirm Wikipedia's... the odor from stink bug is due to trans-2-decanol and trans-2-octanol. Those are organic chemicals, I know, because I took organic chemistry in high school. The smell has been characterized as a pungent odor that smells like cilantro. It's defense mechanism. Beginning bug injuring it or attempting to move it can trigger it to release the odor. Ha ha! That's good to know. U.S. population increase. I was looking for whether they bite people. I haven't seen that yet. Higher than normal number of stink bugs reported in the eastern half of the United States. Possible reasons: 4 generations for growing season in Asia. One early summer, extra insects attacking fruit to control stink bugs. I've developed an artificial pheromone which can be used to